When he arrives in Jerusalem, it will be the final week leading up to his crucifixion. So as Jesus is going through Jericho here, he is going up to Jerusalem for the last time. In just over a week's time now, he will face the crucifixion. After more than 3 years of ministry, Jesus is about to reveal to everyone present his purpose statement for his ministry. The purpose statement, Lord, why have you done the things you've done? He's about to reveal it to them. He's about to share it to them. Not only would he reveal the statement, but he would illustrate it for them. He would illustrate it for every person to see. The statement that Jesus makes is short. It's only 13 one-syllable words. He boils his ministry down to 13 one-syllable words so that everyone could understand it. He puts it in a way so that everyone can grasp it. No big fancy words, no transubstantiation, none of this stuff. No vicarious suffering. He boils it down to 13 one-syllable words that anyone can understand. He wanted to make sure that everyone could get it. In a world where today, where many people cannot even agree on Christ's true identity, much less the purpose of his ministry, it would behoove us to examine what Christ says in this passage. It would behoove us to consider what he says here of himself. In this passage, Christ reveals a purpose statement that is applicable for every person in this room. And it gives us a greater insight into his love for mankind. What Jesus says here in Luke 19:10, this purpose statement that he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, that applies to all of us here. And it illustrates for us his great love for mankind. Let's look at three aspects of this passage this morning. Three aspects of this passage. The first thing we see is this. We see a passionate publican. A passionate publican. Look at verses 1 through 4. It says this. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. A passionate publican, a passionate publican. Straight away, we meet this man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, and from what Luke tells us about Zacchaeus, we can see a few truths about him. We can discern a few truths about this man, Zacchaeus, from the details that Luke gives us. The first thing we see is this. He was a publican. He was a publican. Not a Republican, but a publican. Okay, he was a publican. It says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, publicans were people that were very disliked in Israel at this time in history. And today, they still would not be very liked, I would hasten to say. A publican was a tax collector. A publican was a tax collector. He was the last person you wanted to see knocking on your door. That was a publican. He was a tax collector. Now, the publicans were Jews who had been hired by the Roman government to collect taxes from their fellow Jews. The Romans were the occupiers of the land. And they hired Jews to go around and collect taxes from their fellow Jews. And so their fellow Jews hated them, because they were collaborators with this occupying government. They hated them because they were collaborators. Furthermore, the publicans were given a quota of taxes to collect. A quota of taxes to collect. And anything they could collect over and above that quota, they could keep for themselves. And they could put in their own pocket. So as you can imagine, this led to a lot of abuse. They would collect more money than they had to, because anything extra they collected, they could keep. They could have for themselves. And so they were not very popular people. People did not, you know, you didn't want to make a publican your best friend, because they were rejected by society. So we can see that he was a publican. But not only was he a publican, but it says he was the chief publican and he was rich. He was the chief publican, and he was rich. Now, the Jericho of this time was a very prosperous place. It was a fertile farming area. It was a very fertile farming area. The historians say it was surrounded by farming. It was a fertile farming area. It was on the road to Jerusalem. It was about 16 miles outside the city of Jerusalem. And so it was the final stop on the way to Jerusalem. Every year the Lord commanded people to come to the temple. That was in the Old Testament law. Three times a year, the men of Israel were supposed to come and present themselves at the temple. And so this city, Jericho, would have been the last stop for many of them on their way to Jerusalem. They would have had to pass through this town year after year. And so it was a place where, you know, there would have been little roadside stalls selling food and things like that. It was a place of hospitality. There would have been inns and hotels for people to stay at, just like we read about in the Bible when it says for Jesus' birth, there was no room in the inn. There would have been places for travelers to stop. And so it was a major thoroughfare. And not only that, it was a crossroads where roads came down from Syria and Damascus, and roads came from the east from what would be Arabia, and it was a crossroads where people could come and trade and do business from these foreign countries. And so Jericho was a prosperous area. It was a prosperous place. It was a center for agriculture, for hospitality, and for commerce. And so it was a profitable place to be a publican. If you could collect taxes somewhere, you wanted to collect taxes here where all this commerce was going on. And apparently Zacchaeus was very good at it because it says he was the chief publican. He had risen to the top of his profession. You couldn't go any higher than Zacchaeus. And not only was he chief, but he had made himself very rich collecting taxes off of people, specifically off of his fellow countrymen, his fellow Jews. And so he was very rich. And not only that, we see this. Not only was he a publican, not only was he the chief publican and he was rich, but this, he was excited to see Jesus. He was excited to see Jesus. Look what it says in verses 3 and 4. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. This man was excited to see Jesus Christ. We don't know how he knew, but he knew that Jesus was coming through the town. We know this, he had never seen Jesus before because he sought to see who Jesus was. He did not know Jesus by sight. Apparently, he had never gone to listen to Jesus preach or listen to Jesus teach, but he had heard the things that Jesus taught. Yeah, he had heard from other people what Jesus said. Maybe he had gone out to see John the Baptist preach. Who knows? But we know this. He had never seen Jesus before. He had heard about this miracle worker. He had maybe heard about the messages. And so he was curious to see this man as he was coming through the town of Jericho. He did not know who Jesus was, but he was excited that Jesus was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. But Zacchaeus had a bit of a genetic problem. He had a genetic problem. He was short. The Bible tells us he was small of stature. He could not see for all of the people. There were so many people around and he couldn't see. Stand on his tiptoes, he couldn't see. It says they were pressed tightly, so tightly together, he couldn't, you know, part through the people to get up to see Jesus. And so what does he do? He runs out in front of the crowd, out past where they were to get ahead of them, and he climbs up in a tree so that he'll be able to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. So he'll be able to see this man who performs these miracles, see this man who has this revolutionary spiritual teaching. And so he runs out ahead of everyone so that he can get up in this tree. Now think about it. When is the last time you saw some prominent government official running down the road? Not very often. When is the last time you saw a prominent government official climbing a tree? It's below the dignity of their office. And my point is this, Zacchaeus was so excited to see Jesus Christ, he forgot his pride, he forgot his position, and he did whatever was necessary to get a glimpse of the Lord. He forgot about, hey, I'm Zacchaeus. I'm the chief publican. I wear nice clothes. Other people look at me and, you know, they want my attention and they want to talk to me. Other people in the government. And he forgot all that. He put all that aside. And he said, I want to see this man. And he ran out ahead of everyone else and he climbed up in a tree. And so we see this passionate publican. He was passionate about getting a glimpse of Jesus. So passionate that he put all that stuff aside, his position and his pride, and he climbed up in this tree to see Jesus Christ. And then we see this. We see a passionate publican, but then we see this, a curious conversion. A curious conversion. Look at verses 5 through 8. It says this. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. We see here a curious conversion. A seemingly illogical change took place in the life of Zacchaeus after he met Jesus Christ. An illogical change took place in the life of Zacchaeus after he met Jesus. The Bible says that when Jesus came to the tree where Zacchaeus had climbed, he looked up in the tree and he saw Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. There's a children's song we sing saying, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. And I almost always quote this verse wrong because I think of the children's song. But he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I have to go to your house. He said, and remember, Jesus and Zacchaeus had never met. They had never met each other. Zacchaeus had never seen Jesus in his life. But Jesus knew his name. Jesus was walking down the road. And I don't know about you, when I drive my car or when I walk down the road, I'm not looking up in the trees. But Jesus knew his name, and Jesus knew right where he was. And Jesus knew he had an appointment with this man to keep. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, you make haste and come down, for I must abide at your house. I must abide at your house. Now, the original wording here indicates that Jesus intended to stay at Zacchaeus' house overnight. That's where he was going to spend the night. That's where he was going to lodge on his way. He had 16 more miles to go to get to Jerusalem. He was going to spend the night at Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus, it says, Zacchaeus obeyed, he made haste, and came down and received him joyfully, it says. Zacchaeus joyfully received Jesus Christ into his home to spend the night, to stay the night. He joyfully hosted him. Now we see in the next verse, it says, and they, when they saw it. Now, Luke doesn't tell us who this they is, but it was likely the self-righteous religious crowd that responded this way. What did they say? They said this. They said, he's gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. Look at that. Jesus is going to spend time with the man, with this man who is a sinner. Now, we've already kind of talked about it, but publicans, the Jews hated and despised the publicans. Nearly every person in Jewish society hated the publicans. Why? Because like I said, nobody wants to see the tax collector show up at your door. I don't want HMRC knocking on my door. Sometimes they never have. I get letters from them from now, every now and then. But you don't want the tax man knocking on your door. And especially when you know he's coming to take more than he deserves. More than is legally required. And so they were hated and despised. The common people hated the publicans because they stole their money by collecting more taxes than necessary. The elites hated them because they were collaborating with the Roman occupiers. Publicans were so hated that they were ejected from the synagogue. Even though they were Jews, they were not allowed to attend the synagogue because they interacted with these unclean Romans. And so they were ejected from the synagogue. And because of that, not only could they not worship in the synagogue, but they were also rejected socially. No self-respecting Jew would go into the house of a publican. You would not do it. You would not be caught in their home. socializing with them. And so when Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. I need to abide at your house. All these self-righteous religious people looked and said, look at him. He's going to hang out with the sinner. He's going to hang out with this wicked, evil collaborator. He's going to spend time with this man. He must be no better than Zacchaeus is. And so it gave them reason to be upset with the Lord. Now, we don't have any record. We don't have any record of what Jesus might have said to Zacchaeus on the way to the house, once they got to the house. We have no record whether Zacchaeus heard Jesus teaching in Jericho before, as he was standing under the sycamore tree. We don't know exactly everything that Zacchaeus heard and said, or heard the Lord say. But we know this. We know there was a change in Zacchaeus' life after he met Jesus. Look, what does it say in verse 8? This is a rich man now. This is a man that's made his life stealing from other people. Verse 8, it says this. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Zacchaeus stands before the Lord and says, Lord, from this moment forward, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And any man that I have defrauded, any man that I have accused falsely and taken money from him that he did not rightfully owe, I will repay it fourfold. There's a transformation in this man's life. He's not the same Zacchaeus as he was just a few hours ago. After a little bit of time in the presence of the Lord, it didn't take a long time, but after a little bit of time in the presence of the Lord, Zacchaeus' conscience bothered him about how he had been living for so many years. That's what we call conviction. That's a biblical word we call conviction. Okay, his conscience bothered him about his life, about how he had behaved, about his sin. He was under conviction for the things he had done in his life. And Zacchaeus knew he was enriching himself falsely by stealing from people. And he had done it so long that he was, and so good at it, that he was rich. And he had risen to be the chief publican. And he said, look, I am going to give half of my goods to the poor, and I'm going to restore fourfold to anybody I've stolen from. Now, Zacchaeus is making a couple statements here. The first statement he's making is this: Lord, I love you more than I love money. I love you more than I love money. We didn't read it for this, but in Luke chapter 18, just the chapter preceding this, there was a very important encounter. There was a rich man that came to see Jesus. He came to see Jesus, and he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, look, if you want to follow me, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give away everything, sell everything you've got, and give the money to the poor, and then you come and follow me. And the Bible says that this rich man went away from Jesus very discouraged because he was very rich and he did not want to give up everything he had. That is in Luke 18. And here in Luke 19, we have another very rich man. The first man, what did he say? He said, no, I can't do that because I love my stuff more than I love the Lord. But Zacchaeus, what does Zacchaeus say? Zacchaeus says, I love you, Lord, more than I love my stuff. I'm going to give away half of my goods to the poor. Zacchaeus was under conviction for his disobedience to God, and he chose to submit himself to Christ's teachings. What did Christ say? Christ said, if you love your stuff more than me, sell your stuff and give it to the poor. That's what Jesus said. And Zacchaeus submitted to it. And secondly, Zacchaeus is by his actions making this statement. Lord, I know I have done wrong. I take full responsibility for it, and I will make restoration for it. That's what the second half of the statement is when he says this. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He's basically saying, Lord, I know I've done wrong. I know that I've done wrong, and I want to make restitution for it. I take full responsibility for it, and I want to make restitution for it. Now, in the Old Testament, there are three different punishments for theft. There are three different punishments for theft. There's a punishment if you get caught in the act. There's a punishment for if you are getting away, but you still have the possessions on you. And there's a punishment for after the fact, if you've already disposed of the possessions, but they figure out you were the thief, there's a difference. So there's three punishments for thievery in the Old Testament law. And Zacchaeus chooses for himself the most severe punishment. He says, I will give back fourfold. I won't just return that which I've taken. I won't just add a little bit to it. I will give back four times what I took. I will give back fourfold, Zacchaeus says. And so he's recognizing and he's humbling himself before God. And he's saying, I admit I'm a sinner and I will make restitution for it. I'll do what I can to make it right. Zacchaeus goes from being a thief to being a benefactor. He goes from being greedy to being generous. This is not something that normally happens in someone's life. This is a supernatural transformation that has taken place here. A supernatural transformation. And so we see a curious conversion. And then lastly, we see this. We see a seeking Savior. A seeking Savior. Look at what Jesus says in verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus responds to Jesus, the seeking Savior, responds to Zacchaeus by saying, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is a son of Abraham. Jesus is saying, this man is born again. This man is born again. This man has had a transformation in his life. This man's life has changed. Look at the transformation that has taken place. This response was from the Lord telling us that Zacchaeus, he was saying, look, Zacchaeus is not just trying to earn favor here. Zacchaeus is not trying to say, okay, if I do these works, it'll buy my righteousness. No, he's saying, look, this is evidence of the transformation in Zacchaeus' life. It's not that Zacchaeus is trying to do good works to earn his way to heaven. Jesus is saying, look, salvation has come this day to this house. There's a transformation that's taken place in his life. There's a change. And Zacchaeus has changed. There's a transformation. Salvation has come to this house. The Bible says this, when a person receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, it says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying there is a transformation that has taken place. This change in Zacchaeus is evidence of his salvation. It's evidence of his changed life. And then Jesus follows up with this statement. And probably the clearest, most concise statement he ever makes about the purpose of his ministry. He says this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, do you remember the people that did not want Jesus to go to Zacchaeus' house? There were some people that were very disturbed and very upset that he would go and he would see this man, Zacchaeus. He would spend time with him. The Bible says they murmured. And that word murmur means to be very critical, to be very angry about it. And on his way to Jericho in chapter 18, just preceding this, Jesus had stopped on the roadside and healed a blind man. He had healed the blind man right before he met Zacchaeus. And many people were going with Jesus, were following Jesus to Jerusalem for the Passover. And many scholars say that there was a large crowd going with Jesus because they thought that when they get to Jerusalem, he's going to install himself as the king and he's going to bring in the kingdom. And so that's what these people were wanting. They were wanting more miracles and they're wanting Jesus to install himself as king. But Jesus makes this statement. He said, guys, I'm here to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm not here just to perform these flashy miracles. I'm not here to install myself as king. That's not why I've come. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why I'm here. So Jesus makes this purpose statement. He makes it very clear why he's come. In the eyes of a Jewish person, you could not get more lost than a publican. You could not get lower in the eyes as far as socially and hatred. You could not get lower than a person who was a publican, just despised and sneered at and just treated very poorly because of how they were stealing from their fellow Jews. And so in the eyes of the Jewish people, for Jesus to go, say this about a publican, "I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost," he couldn't get much more lost than a publican. Turned his back on his own people and took advantage of his own people. Jesus' point was that he was come to seek lost people and change their lives. Even the worst of the worst in the eyes of society. He was come to seek them and to change their lives. And so we see the seeking Savior. Now in this passage, Christ reveals a purpose statement that is applicable for every person in this room. It gives us insight to his love for mankind. It's applicable to every person in this room because you know what? Jesus is still seeking people today. If you're born again, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's because Jesus sought you. Jesus was seeking you. Jesus wanted you to become his child. Not only did Jesus tell everyone that he was come to seek and to save that which was lost, he gave an illustration of it by seeking out Zacchaeus. Where was Zacchaeus? In the tree. It was not a normal place to look, but Jesus knew where he was. Jesus didn't just turn to anybody on the street and say, "Hey, do you have a spare room I can stay in tonight?" No. He sought Zacchaeus. He sought Zacchaeus out. He was looking for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus did not call out to Jesus, but Jesus called out to Zacchaeus. Somewhere in their time together, Zacchaeus heard Christ's message, accepted it, and was miraculously transformed, all because Jesus sought him. Now here's the point, folks. I can tell you this morning, based on the authority of God's word, that Jesus is still seeking people. Jesus is still seeking people to receive the gospel message. Jesus said he was seeking that which was lost. Do you know what the Bible says about us as mankind? It says this: all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Zacchaeus was lost. Zacchaeus wasn't born again, and Jesus sought him out. And that verse tells us we're all like sheep that have gone astray. We all go everyone to our own way. We all try to do our own thing. We are all separated from God. Every one of us has strayed from God because of our self-serving stubbornness. It says, turn everyone to his own way. Our self-serving stubbornness leads us away from the Lord. But the Bible also tells us that our sin separates us from God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. That separates us from God. And Isaiah puts it like this, Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. We're separated because of our stubbornness, our self-serving. We're separated because of our sin. Our iniquities has separated between us and God. And that's why the Bible says we are lost. That's why it uses that terminology. But the good news is this: Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is looking for lost people. The Bible tells us this: the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to be found. God doesn't want people to stay lost. God wants everyone to be found. It's not God's desire that anyone would die and spend an eternity in hell. God wants to restore that relationship with you. God wants you to come and be his child. That's what he wants. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everyone to be his child. When Jesus said this, "I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost," that's what he's talking about. He's talking about restoring that relationship. Restoring that relationship with God. Jesus Christ came to the earth, lived a perfect life, went to the cross and took our punishment, was buried and rose again the third day. Why? So that we may have a relationship with God. And all we have to do is believe. Look, Zacchaeus didn't say, "I'm giving away all my stuff and I'm going to repay everybody I stole from," so that he could earn his way to heaven. He got his way to heaven because he believed in Jesus Christ. And that was evidence of the transformation. How do we have a relationship with God? How do we come through Jesus Christ to have a relationship with the Father? By believing. By believing, the Bible says this: if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's all about believing. And it's as simple as that. No works, no penance, no purgatory. Just believe. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they said to the Philippian jailer, Acts 16. He said, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul say to him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. He says, what do I have to do to be saved? Believe. Maybe you're here today this morning, and maybe you're like Zacchaeus. You've never met Jesus. You don't personally know him. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is seeking you because you're lost. You're separated from God. If you say this morning, I'm like Zacchaeus, I don't know Jesus. I've never met him. I don't know him personally. Well, I'm here to tell you, if that's you this morning, Jesus is seeking you because you're lost. You're separated from God, and he wants you to be his child. He wants you, just like Zacchaeus, to be transformed from the inside out. Jesus knows you, just like he knew Zacchaeus. He never met him, but he knew him. Jesus knows where you are. He knows you're sitting in his seat right now, just like he knew Zacchaeus was up in the tree. He knows you and he knows where you are, and he wants you to come to him and put your faith and trust in him, be born again, and have eternal life. If there's someone here this morning and you'd say, hey, that's me. I don't know Jesus. I don't know the Lord. I don't know him personally. I don't know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, let us take the Bible this morning and show you what it means to be born again. Come see me after the service and I'll take the Bible and I'll show you what the Bible says, how to become a Bible-believing Christian, how to know that you have a home in heaven. We see in this passage a passionate publican. Zacchaeus, he was passionate about seeing the Lord. We see a curious conversion. Something took place in Zacchaeus' life that nobody could explain. A curious conversion. And then we see a seeking Savior. Jesus Christ said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've come to seek man separated from God to restore that relationship. We see this morning the seeking Savior. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the rest of our time this morning. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you, Lord, and we thank you for the example of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for how 2,000 years ago he sought Zacchaeus. And now, 2,000 years later, he is still seeking. He is still looking. He's still looking for people that he wants to know and that want to know him.